been a while.
Discerning listeners might have noticed that we haven't been around in some time.
Alex, would you like to tell our listeners the primary reason we have not podcasted since August?
There are so many reasons. Let me go in chronological order, okay? Number one, my wife and I moved, and this was complicated just without the usual moving factors, you know, where you have too many things and you wish you were a monk who gave up all worldly possessions. I also threw out my back, and my wife was recovering from surgery.
The back throwing out is arguably not related.
No, well, it was related because I was trying to move a box, and I couldn't be upright for a good long while. So that took a while. And then I was studying for some board exams. And then I went to South Africa.
Yay!
Then we came back from South Africa. And I thought it was going to happen, but it didn't because couldn't find the microphone.
I want to be clear, actually, that I don't know if you remember this, but I do. You immediately could not find the microphone, like in September or October. And then we were just like, well, maybe after you get back. And when I came home at Christmas, because I had, you know, far away, was like, what is wrong with you? And then I came at Christmas and saw the room in which you were keeping all of your assorted boxes. And I was like, I see the problem.
Yeah, we are not like fast unpackers, like in the best of circumstances, like international trips, you know, exams notwithstanding.
I think of you as being faster than me.
This house was very slow, I'll say that. We were faster at our last place. But we had more boxes this time. I think that might have been the reason. But we had stacked all the remains of our boxes, like non-immediate things, in one room.
It was comical. Sitcomical, if you will.
It was tall stacked.
Which is funny, because you're little people.
And Kat did immediately notice when I opened the door to show her that it was a problem.
Well, I was just like, I see now that in order to get certain boxes, you would have to, like, it would have been very difficult due to space constraints to unpack out of order of how they had been put in.
And, you know, those descriptions that you write on the outside of said boxes when you're packing turns out to not translate well when you're unpacking. Because once you read things that say study-craft materials, and then you open it and you're like, well, there's clearly a pillow in here. You know, it just doesn't seem adequate for the information you need.
I do understand because you have this ambition, like, this box will be all this stuff, and then this box will be all this stuff. And then you quickly realize that, like, you can't have a box that's only breakable stuff, and you can't have a box that's only super heavy stuff.
Correct. Anyway, this mic was in literally the last box we unpacked. So I unearthed this microphone many, many moons after
like
I had intended.
Ago.
Yeah, pretty much. There are still a few boxes of like unimportant items in our bedroom, but this was like, I was actively searching for this.
I was kind of like, it's not like I asked you to look for an earring. Like, what is happening?
By the way, we still haven't found my like nightstand light.
Also not a small item.
No, not that small. I don't know where it is.
Anyway, we, as podcast buddies, after this long stretch of time, had a discussion about that combined with the fact that we have missed various months at random over the last, I don't know, year or two? Yeah, you're like, I'm out of town, you're out of town, I'm extremely busy, you're extremely busy. So
we're only going to get busier from here.
Well,
also,
you don't know. No, yeah, it's unlikely. So in February, we had this conversation of perhaps we should formally end the podcast with a last episode or two. But you never know, we might come back for like Christmas Prince 5.
Correct. I know this is like devastating news to our listeners. And we just like came back after like a whole pregnancy's worth.
No, We were gone for, it was August. We were gone for 6-5 months. That's a very short pregnancy. All right, now that we've scared everyone and been unclear, we decided that we would do one really bad movie that we have been waiting for a very long time, and then maybe a classic or something next month, and then we will be on indefinite hiatus.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it. We're not going to close the door on, you know, being gone forever. We sometimes you see a movie that's coming and you just have to chat about it.
Although I must say, we have watched some movies that we haven't chatted about. I was a little sad.
Yeah, there you go. So,
unlike me.
You know, who knows? We may come back for like the off episode, but this is going to be the end of semi-regular Rom-Comathon as we know it.
And we really appreciate our half dozen devoted listeners that we know personally and probably like 3 devoted listeners that we don't know personally.
Shout out to you guys. Thanks so much for listening, for interacting. And yeah, it's been really fun. But, you know, this isn't the goodbye episode. We still got one more coming. So don't worry. With that said, let's dive into our bad movie, quote unquote bad movie. So welcome to Rom-Comathon. I'm Alex.
And I'm Kat.
And this month we're talking about Irish Wish, starring Lindsay Lohan and Ireland.
Okay, I'd like to give a little bit of backstory about the production of Irish Wish. It was first announced and came to our attention in like August or September of 2022. It was apparently a 2-picture deal with Falling for Christmas, but I think that you and I missed the 2021 announcement of Falling for Christmas, so it felt like we heard about Irish Wish first and were deeply confused when Falling for Christmas came out.
Oh, okay, because I do feel like we've known about Irish Wish for so long.
Yes, and I distinctly remember being like, a different Lindsay Lohan movie is coming out and being deeply confused.
I would watch many of these starring Lindsay Lohan. I love a Lindsay Lohan film. Quality of this one, debatable.
Yeah, I honestly was a little disappointed. Like, it was terrible. It was worse than I thought, but it was also more boring than I thought.
I know. And for me, really long.
Yes, it was 90 minutes. To be fair, I paused to make cupcakes, but it felt like a lifetime.
It really did. I remember I was like texting you towards the end and I was like, this, you were like, well, thank God it's short. And I was like, certainly didn't feel like it.
Yes, you were like, but it feels long. And I was like, oh. I was really hoping that it would be delightfully unhinged. And it was unhinged, but not as delightfully as I hoped.
There were some unhinged moments. Should I summarize the film?
Well, the entire premise is unhinged. So yes, first summarize the film.
Okay, so Lindsay Lohan plays a book editor who is hopelessly in love with the author that she's working on, working on the book with.
The trailer led me to believe that they were like longtime best friends, but they've known each other like a year.
Yeah. And she's like, and she's been in love with him basically this whole time. She's like, we have so much in common. And the whole thing is that like, she basically wrote most of the book. Like,
which becomes like more and more clear. At first, yeah. You don't necessarily know that, but.
Because they all keep saying she's the book's editor. So like, it seems a bit weird when her friends are like, you should have credit. And I'm like, but she just edited his book.
Well, he does say early on, like, you practically wrote. And she's like, no, I didn't. You're like, oh, he's being nice. She's being modest. And then near the end, you're like, oh, but like she did. Because apparently it's better than his previous books, I guess.
Yeah, apparently.
Woof.
He is the UK's quote unquote best known author, most beloved author. I don't know. He is, that's like what the banner behind him says.
Oh.
At the beginning of the book, there's like a movie premiere of a book launch. Like, I was deeply confused.
Who
I thought,
is he like a British Nicholas Sparks? Are they all romance novels or just this one?
Well, he's supposedly an Irish Nicholas Sparks, but I am pretty confused because he is from Ireland. He's not from Northern Ireland, which is actually part of the UK. He's from the Republic of Ireland. a place that would probably shiv someone for saying they were part of the UK.
He also didn't sound terribly Irish.
Yeah, but he is Irish. So the whole premise of the book is that, like, you know, it takes place near a lake, near his ancestral home. Like, yeah, blah, blah. Anyway, so she's in love with him. And she is hoping that for some reason, without her saying anything, he will somehow cotton onto her feelings and, you know, propose everlasting love. Sadly, this does not happen, but he meets one of her friends at this book launch and falls in love with her instead. A quick matter of months later, and they are all in Ireland prepping for his and her friend's wedding. And Lindsay Lohan is devastated.
Yes. I mean, her mom, Jane Seymour, is literally on the phone being like, also, first of all, what is Jane Seymour doing with her life? But second of all, she's like, oh, and you still haven't even told your friends? I'm like, but if they don't know him, why would you be squeamish about telling your friends?
Exactly. Like, that is literally the whole problem, is that at the book launch, friend has no idea that she has these feelings. Like, they're literally like, oh, he's hot. Like, do you? And she's like, no. Would never, this guy.
And obviously he's an author, but he's played by an actor. Like, what are you, blind?
Yeah, like, I mean, he's fine.
I mean, I'm not saying, like, I'm but objectively, right?
Yeah. So they go to his ancestral home in Ireland, where his family, somehow white colonizers, but it's Ireland, so actually they're the ones being colonized, but they are living in some serious, like, manor house situation.
Yeah, they're Kennedys, but I guess in Ireland, but literally their name is Kennedy, which was, like, a little confusing to me.
Yeah, I was also confused. I was like, does this carry the same weight over here?
I think it's just a name over there.
Yes. So they are at the estate. It happens to be near the lake, this famous lake, and there's like a little shrine dedicated to St. Bridget, I guess. And Lindsay Lohan.
Shrine? I thought it was just like a spot.
Maybe it's just a spot. It's underneath this tree, and she goes there and wishes that she was the one marrying the author instead, Paul. And St. Bridget, in a truly the most unhinged performance in this film, this actress was really giving it her all, and I must applaud her. She really dedicated herself to this role. The woman playing St. Bridget.
I have so much to say about this afterward.
She pops up and she's like, oh, you're making a wish, huh? You better sit on this chair and the stone seat. And the so Lindsay Lohan chair. Sits on the wishing chair and, like, makes this wish in earnest. Immediately she wakes up and she has, like, swapped into an alternate universe where she is now the one marrying Paul Kennedy. And she quickly realizes, of course, that this is not all that's cracked up to be. But this does include a lot of meddling from St. Bridget herself, who has nothing better to do, apparently. And in this universe, she realizes that, you know, the guy that she's actually into is not Paul, her fiancé, but is actually this British nature photographer who she, like, meets originally after a series of, like, issues at the airport.
How nice of you to describe him by his profession first. I would just call him some rando that she met.
What's his name? James? James Thomas? They all have such bland names.
Who is to say? Book one, blonde one. That's what I got.
They connect over, I believe it's James Joyce, Darts, and Guinness, I want to say?
Okay, so in the original thing, he's there to photograph a sheep shearing festival, which doesn't feel like nature exactly, but sure. And then in the alternate universe, only in the alternate universe, does he become, like, the wedding photographer?
Yes, because it's played for lols that Paul's mother has somehow traumatized two photographers, and now no one will photograph this wedding. And this is like, ha ha, what a crazy gal is she?
You shouldn't employ people. But anyway, so this dude becomes their photographer after she, like, tumbles into his car.
He is, like, strong-armed into this position by Paul's mother, even though he's like, I am a nature photographer. I do not photograph people.
But then they go off to look at some cliffs, and then a tree falls down, and they stay the night at a pub, and somehow we're meant to believe that by the next day, they're in love.
They have some real moments of connection after a series of unfortunate events. And after meeting Paul, who he already hates, this guy thinks Paul's a hack and his writing is bad. He makes a series of judgments about Lindsay Lohan's choices that seem blind for someone you've just met. He's basically like, well, first of all, Lindsay Lohan apparently in this alternate universe retains like no information on like how she got engaged to Paul, like how they met really, or like how their relationship went. Like,
yeah, she just doesn't know how she's, I mean, it's a 13 going on 30.
She clearly has this like past history with Paul in this like shared in this alternate universe, but she like doesn't know that information.
And she's also seemingly like really unnecessarily hiding completely neutral pieces of her personality. Yeah, like he seems to just know nothing about her, which I guess like in both real life and this world, they just haven't known each other that long. Like he and Emma are getting married after like 20 seconds.
But he and Lindsay Lohan have been working together on this book for about a year. I mean, a working relationship, a professional relationship is not like a personal relationship, but it seems like they work together pretty closely.
Okay, we can get into the unbelievability of any of these people being writers or readers at the end of the summary. Go on.
On the morning of her wedding to Paul, Lindsay realizes that actually she shouldn't be marrying him. And literally he is at the altar. Everyone is gathered in the church. And Lindsay is like, JK, actually, I can't go through with this. This is not right. A round of fisticuffs ensues. God, I forgot about
that. Block that out.
Absolutely, like, chaos happens. I think I like blanked out part of this. Paul's mother gets like really upset, obviously, that she's like calling off the wedding. And
yeah, mom's being a little Sweet Home Alabama about it, but with the men, it's shocking that this man she met yesterday and this man who knows nothing about her are so invested. But like Paul sees what's his face like talking to her and concludes that the man they met 2 days prior is the cause of this wedding destruction.
I mean, he is, but
it's just, please go on.
Yeah. So they get into a fight. Lindsay Lohan is like, I have to like undo everything that's happened. And she also realizes that Paul is actually in love with her friend who he is originally was supposed to be marrying. And so she runs over to the tree and St. Bridget reappears and she's like, I have to undo everything. So she makes a wish and then reappears back in the real world where she is just overjoyed to be celebrating the union of these two, of Paul and her friend. She's just psyched.
Thank God, she fixed it.
Yay! And then she goes looking for James, the photographer that she fell in love with.
This total stranger who in this universe did photograph the sheep shearing festival after their like antagonistic airport encounter.
Yeah, like literally he's met her twice. Like once when they were arguing over the same piece of luggage and like once on the like airport shuttle, essentially.
Yep.
And she's basically like, you know, I am very interested in that endangered lizard you're going to photograph that you talked about in an alternate reality. And he's like,
that I creepily know about.
Yeah. And he's like, how do you know that? And she's like,
How long are you in Ireland? Who's to say? As long as it takes to entrap you, total stranger.
This is an ethically dubious method, but I'm going for it. And then the movie just ends with the implication that they fall in love.
Well, okay. So where to begin? First of all, let's just accept the premise. This movie suggests that destiny is a thing, which I don't think either of us believe in where love is concerned.
Yes, but St. Bridget certainly does.
Oh my God, St. Bridget. Okay.
Wait, okay, so question. I really wanted to pose you this question. What do you think of St. Bridget compared to the old crone from The Night Before Christmas?
Okay, this is what I was going to say when you said St. Bridget. I so wanted to interrupt to be like, let me first clarify that we don't know she's St. Bridget until Lindsay Lohan is at, like, the alternate universe rehearsal of the wedding. And sees the, like, picture of her at the top of the, stained glass or something.
Yes, the stained glass. And she's like, oh my god, that's St. Bridget. And she, like, faints.
Yeah, she freaks out and she ruins the wedding rehearsal. But more importantly, prior to that, we don't know who this person is. And at this point, like, we're more than two-thirds of the way through the movie,
we
right?
just think this is, like, an unhinged fairy woman.
Okay, yes. Okay, let me first explain. Back in the day, ye old days of rom-com-a-thon, at one point we watched a movie called Night Before Christmas, or as Matt and I like to call it, The Knight Before Christmas, which was, kind of a Kate and Leopold situation.
Yeah, I think he, like, shows up from the past, right?
And, like, yeah, there's a guy into, like, who V. Hudge's, knight, like, a knight.
Yeah, into, like, V. Hudge's Ohio town.
Yes, Vanessa Hudgens is just a normal person. But in these Netflix Christmas movies, there's always, like, either a Santa or a Santa-esque figure. Except in Knight Before Christmas, where it is, like, a strange Beauty and the Beast-style old lady in a hood, like, rushing hobbly through the woods. And so we called her Old Crone. And, oh, wait, no, he called her Old Crone.
I was going to be like, I'm pretty sure the film called her an Old Crone.
Oh, my God. And we were... And so the guy, like, doesn't know what's happening. And so in his life, oh, because it starts with him. He's in the past. He sees the old crone. She brings him to the present.
Yes.
He sees her in the present, he's, like, obviously trying to figure out what the heck happened to himself. And he's like, old crone! Okay. Sorry you all had to listen to us recollect all of that. But anyway, so we thought that was a bit rude, but subsequently could not stop just crying out, old crone, at the slightest provocation. And so, when Lindsay Lohan is there, she's on the phone with Jane Seymour, and then suddenly the call is, like, dead or whatever, and we're like, what's happening? Is it magic? Magic interferes with cell phone service? And this woman appears in a green, like, tunic sweatsuit.
Yeah, it is literally, like some sort of old-fashioned, like, pajama set.
Yes.
But, like, also, but, like, it has, like, the touch of a babushka because she's wearing, like, a little, like, yes, bandana and, like, kerchief.
A little, like, floral kerchief over this matching outfit that's just modern enough that at first Lindsay Lohan clearly just thinks she's, like, a strange hippie.
Yeah, but she's like...
But we know at this once...
Woman, this full-on... This woman, like, full-on appears behind Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, yeah, she's... Very creepy, but not ugly. So you're just kind of like, oh, okay. But it became clear that she had old crone energy. So we were
She
like,
really did. She had, like, mischievous leprechaun vibes.
What do we call her? Do we call her young crone? Do we call her chair crone? Later, I think someone said, like, odd lady. And we were like, do we call her odd lady? What do we call her? So that was the first item I wanted to bring to you for discussion. Like, I did not think of her as Bridget the whole time. I was like, young crone.
When she appeared, I was like, this woman is the most dedicated actress in this film. She has, like, a perma fixture of this, like, enormous
maniacal
grin. Yeah, like, truly her, like, when you look at her face, you're like, oh, she's not right. Like, there was just energy emanating from this woman.
Which was important because she was really driving the film.
Yes. And, like, I left out all the parts. There is this, like, very minor subplot where Jane Seymour, Lindsay Lohan's mother, is crying in this alternate universe to get to Ireland for her daughter's wedding. And Lindsay Lohan is, like, has been saying, like, a lot of the film, she's like, oh, my mom is, like, my mom gets shit done, like, she's very reasonable, like, she'll help me figure this whole thing out. And, like, I guess young crone couldn't have that, so she, like, uses her magic abilities to make Jane Seymour oversleep her, like, her alarm for her flight in Des Moines, Iowa, and then bodily checks Jane Seymour at the airport when she's rushing to her reassigned gate so that she ends up in the hospital with broken limbs.
Which was so upsetting and unnecessary to me. Like, Jane Seymour does not deserve this.
And yet, like, this is what young crone was up to.
She's everywhere, you guys. She's in Iowa. She's in Ireland. She is a busy bee.
And each time she appeared, just the vibes. The vibes were weird.
Also, like, I think it's important to note that I was like, what is she the saint of? I guess she's the matron saint of Ireland, but she seems to be the saint of, like, a lot of stuff.
St. Patrick was, I thought St. Patrick was the saint of Ireland?
Patron saint?
Oh.
Well, it says matron saint. I mean, it seems like she is the most prominent goddess slash saint.
Sure. I know nothing.
And then it mentions, like,
there's
pagan stuff happening, right? But
did they have a quick, like, Google map search of this? Because there are a few, like, geographical locations at, like, that they mention. And, like, this whole film is supposed to take place in Western Ireland. I did find there is, like, some place called, like, St. Bridget something something on the map. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I would bet there's a lot of bridges in Ireland. We were just kind of like, let's do a quick Google. What are you the goddess of? And it's like, oh, could be poetry, healing, metal crafting, nature, fertility, fire, just like a lot of associations. And I was like,
but not like meddling.
Busy. She's busy. Well, I think one page did say something about miracles.
Okay, sure.
I also wish to raise the question of, you know how we talk about a specific genre, a subgenre that we call Rachel McAdams time traveler films?
Yes.
Do you think there could now be a genre that we call Lindsay Lohan body swap films?
You make a good point. Although she doesn't body swap in this one exactly. Like she goes into like an alternate reality.
Yes,
but
I guess,
like,
it's more of a life swap. It felt in watching it more like 13 going on 30.
I could see that, yeah.
Like mechanism wise. Yeah, yeah. But I was a bit like, I mean, she does have a bit of a... Well, also because in the alternate universe, her friend was also in love with
Paul Kennedy.
Yes, author boy, which I was like, it's weirder in this world now. I don't know what to do with this.
It is weird. It brought up a couple of questions that the friend was also in love with him in the alternate universe, because I was like, well, how much time have they spent together? Because, like, in the regular world, right, like, the friend, Emma, and Paul, the author, have, like, been together for, I don't know, it's like something like 5 or 6 months, right, by the time the wedding comes around. And, like,
yes, less than a full calendar flip.
Yeah, and the other, you know, like, Lindsay Lohan's other friend is basically like, wow, that was like a quick, you know, like, that was a quick courtship, basically. And it's like, yeah, that was pretty quick. So in that world where they have been dating that entire length of time, they're in love, and that's reasonable. Say in love in the alternate universe where Lindsay Lohan is his fiance. How much time are they spending together to, like, get to
know
each other?
Yeah, because you've got to assume, like, they work together for a year, and then she's like, hey, so, like, this professional relationship has turned into another thing. Like, maybe I want my friends to meet him. Surely Emma has met this guy, like, 3 times.
Right?
Right?
But that's what I would think, right? Like, they've met each other a couple of times.
And, like, everything about this film was so heavy-handed at every moment. So, like, when they're first trying to make clear to us that Lindsay Lohan is the bride now, Emma has this intense, like, I'm single now energy.
Yeah, she's basically like, look at how many hot guys there are in this tiny town in Ireland. Like, it's basically like, oh, here's a village. And I was like, there are that many single men of reasonable age?
I don't know, right? But maybe they're just all in town for the wedding. Because she's, like, excited for the reception. She's, like, ready to get her whatever on.
That's true.
And then it gradually becomes clear that she is in love with Paul. And you're like,
I guess she's just hoping to, like, fuck her sorrows away or something.
I guess.
Yeah.
But also, oh, by the way, another late reveal was that Lindsay Lohan says to this friend, like, well, we've known each other since we were kids, which was not clear to me early on.
Oh, I think I missed
that. But she's British. How have you known each other since you were kids?
Maybe kids is like 15.
Maybe. But also, like, was Jane Seymour American? Was she Jane Seymour? What was going on?
No, I have, like, one note about the Jane Seymourness of it all. Why was it at the beginning of the film, when Lindsay Lohan was at this inexplicably deeply popular book launch, right? Like, I don't even know. Like, why were there so many paparazzi at this book launch?
Yeah,
in
right.
New York City, where it looked like it was like, I don't know, like 8 p.m., 9 p.m. It's dark. Okay. Why
Oh my
was
God, you're
James
so
Seymour
right.
in the middle of a school day in Des Moines, Iowa?
Oh yeah, she's a
Like,
principal.
I'm sorry, what was the time difference there between New York and Des Moines?
Well, do we know what month it is? Like, if it's winter, I mean, maybe in New York it's like 5.
Okay, to be extremely generous, I would say that this event in New York City starts at earliest 7 p.m.
No, like in LA, the Oscars start at like 4.
But it's not dark.
Well, true.
Also, it's a book launch. It's not the Oscars.
That is true. They start at like 4 so that they can start at 7 for the East Coast. But.
Correct. The East Coast has no such compunctions.
By the way, when this movie began, we were both so confused. We were like, I guess he's an actor. Because what. Who else would
what
have
is
this
what
amount
I thought?
Of attention on him as he arrives?
That is also what I thought. There is literally a red carpet. And then I saw behind him Paul Kennedy, UK's most beloved author. And I was like, what?
Like, is he pre-terrible things J.K. Rowling? But for
like,
adults?
I don't know. Like, even if he's the Nicholas Sparks of Ireland, like, I just don't see this happening.
Well, anyway, in this world where he is an author, presumably at least a decent writer.
Yeah, sure.
And she is his book editor and secretly a much better writer. One of the pivotal moments is that he doesn't know anything about her, including who her favorite author is. But I'm just like, if you two have never talked about anything, you would think this would be the one thing that would have come up.
I know. Because she's met the photographer guy, like James, for like a hot second. And she's like, ugh, reminds me of like James Joyce, like of Ulysses. And then he's like, oh, Joyce. Like it literally comes up in like their third conversation. How does this guy not know? How does Paul not know?
Also, I mean, he's clearly like super self-absorbed, which we can get to in a second. But I was also a bit like, judgy that photographer dude was so like not what I would have expected about James Joyce, who is a very famous author, and she is a book editor. The only thing you know about this woman is that she works in a like a literary business.
I was also extremely confused by that because I was like, what does a person who is into James Joyce look like? You know, like what is that supposed to mean?
And it's like, you're coming off looking better than this other guy, but only because he is kind of a tool, clearly, from pretty early on.
Okay, but I was confused about what the movie was trying to tell us about Paul Kennedy, because we get early on, and from like numerous people, that he is like, you know, a rich, elitist, like self-absorbed, like bit of a dud. Like inoffensive, but like just into himself and, you know, whatever. But then, like, when Lindsay Lohan is, like, leaving him at the altar, she's like, she says to her friend, like, I know you've been into him this whole time. You two are perfect together. What does it say about the friend?
Or the guy.
Yeah. Who, like, presumably we're, like, supposed to kind of be cheering on to be together. Like, I just got so many mixed messages. And then Lindsay says to, like, him at the altar, like, oh, you're a great guy. Like, it's not about you. It's about me. And I was like, oh. Hey, like, I guess he's inoffensive, but, like, whatever. And then he literally gets into a fist.
Okay, I think you're raising two separate issues. The first issue is related to the way this movie talks about, like, love is destiny.
Mm.
Because Lindsay Lohan, particularly at this at-the-altar moment, really has a vibe of, like, I, the omniscient person, except about my history in this alternate universe, in this scenario, know that everyone was supposed to end up with someone else.
Mm.
Which is why she doesn't have a normal reaction to the idea that her seemingly childhood friend and bridesmaid and her fiance have been a little bit in love with each other this whole time.
Yeah. Like, emotionally cheating.
Yes, and even in that moment, she says something which made me crazy because she was like, when you get married, it should be to someone you love. Well, yeah, not just someone you wish for. And I'm like, okay, this is not like a deep statement of wisdom because most of us don't get the choice between like a regular person that we meet and we love and someone that we made a strange young crone wishing chair wish on. So I don't think that that can really play into the character issue that we are describing. The character issue is that when she says it's me, it's not you, it's me. She means, like, I think that she's just been, like, hiding herself or whatever, which I don't understand why, first of all.
Well, God forbid that he finds out she can dance, okay?
Yeah, that, like, he, I don't know why Lindsay Lohan wishes to play, at least in this scenario, this, like, super, like, mousy character.
Yeah, I don't know either. There was no good
and
reason for
it. And he sees her that way, and he's like, this is what I love about her. Like, she's just so lame. And you're like, okay. But he, you see in the regular universe that he's kind of like, I want you to help me with my next book, so if yours could wait. Which is a little weird, but in their professional dynamic, you're kind of like, well, okay, like, she works with him as an editor. Presumably this is her overall career.
Yeah, so this is not, like, unreasonable.
And then, but then in the alternate universe, you're like, oh, he doesn't treat her better as his fiancé.
Yeah.
He seems to know even less about her. But then we go back to the real world, and she's psyched, she's fixed everything, and Emma marries Paul Kennedy, and then she runs off to find the stranger, and Matt was kind of like, your friend from the womb just married this dickhead. And you're walking out at her wedding, which seems rude, when you're a bridesmaid.
You know, he's not wrong. He's not incorrect.
Because by the end of the AU period, you're a little bit like, or even the part in the real world where she was like, Paul, I will help you, but I want co-writing credit. And he's like, eh, I don't know. You're like, I don't think he deserves Emma.
Who has been really, like, perfectly lovely, supportive of Lindsay Lohan in the alternate universe, even though she's in love with this guy. Like, you know, just, like, totally inoffensive and happy to be getting married in the regular universe. Like, she's done nothing wrong.
And you're just like, boy, I think it's sort of implied that, like, he and Emma are well suited. Like, we see them do certain activities together. They have fun together. They, like, Lindsay Lohan spots them dancing. And it's like, well, it's kind of your fault that you haven't revealed that you can dance for whatever reason.
Yeah, they both love riding bikes, talking about concealer. Like, what's there not to love about their relationship?
But it's like, the fact that Emma can ride a bike does not make me not concerned about the possibility that if she couldn't keep up with him on a bike, he would also leave her behind.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I think we're just supposed to believe that these two are soulmates, and so he probably, like, treats her great while he knows nothing and cares nothing about Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, she's just, like, an accessory to him, yeah.
Which is not how people are.
I mean, Emma's truly, her biggest failing was selecting those horrific bridesmaids' outfits. Yeah, that was questionable.
I forgot about that. They were so down on the, like, family wedding dress. And I was like, for a really old dress, this is not bad.
Oh, Alex was like, I love that dress. Like, this is a nice dress. Yeah, I was like, this dress seems fine. Although, God forbid they put Lindsay in anything that showed arms. Did you notice? This was another point of contention for me during the film. It was, I think it was, like, summer, spring. Like, it was warm, right? Like, in the film. And she is in, like, a lot of skirts, but, like, basically full sleeves until she breaks up the wedding. I was like, oh my god, bare arms!
Wow, I had no time to notice that.
If you go back, you'll see.
Wow. Also, okay, I'm like, what is left that we objected to? Okay, let's talk about the relationship with this guy that she supposedly is meant to be with.
Yeah, we've actually barely talked about this man.
Yeah, because they don't know each other.
He's really not anything. Like, he's not special, really, in any way, except that he also loves James Joyce and dancing.
I mean, here are his characteristics. Can't be tied down. Photographs nature. I'm out.
Basically works for the Tourism Board of Ireland.
the estate that they filmed this at, that like floral lake situation, Ireland, as always, looks incredible.
Ireland is stunning. Ireland is always so beautiful and really pulls her weight in every film she's in.
Also, I died, by the way, when we first arrived in Ireland and the music started, and I was like, yes, because without these like pipes or flutes or whatever, we wouldn't know we went to Ireland, I guess.
God forbid. The B-roll was stunning. When they went to the cliffs of Moher, I'm mangling this. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, which, okay. So in the original encounter, like their meet cute's like fine.
Yeah, they argue over a suitcase, yeah.
And I was like, I don't know why Lindsay doesn't just check the tag, but whatever. I really thought from the trailer that they were gonna spend time together in the regular world, that he was gonna be the photographer in that world. And then I didn't realize until we watched, obviously, that like, oh, they only spend time together in the alternate universe.
Yeah, so I had a lot of questions about the dubious ethics at the end of the film when Lindsay returns to the real world and then uses her alternate universe knowledge of this man to seduce him.
I love 13 Going on 30, but I've always had some questions about that. But the implication in 13 Going on 30 is that when she like makes the wish or whatever and then runs back upstairs, she's running into a life where everything happened as it was supposed to and like they knew each other. So now I'm wondering, having seen this movie, whether in that movie she remembers her life. I assume yes, but at least in that scenario, when she's in the like future alternate thing where she's 30, it's with someone she already knows. So there's some like backstory, but with him, we see a lot of him alone with various Irish acquaintances. Seemingly he's English, but he spent time in Ireland growing up.
Yeah, that was the backstory.
And we don't know, we can only assume it's because of family, but we don't know what happened to his family because everyone he sees is like, so you still have no home, eh?
Yeah, they're just like, oh, just a bit of wanderlust.
Yeah, like no house, no woman.
No ties. Rambling about the world.
And he does a real about face upon meeting Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Because suddenly he just seems to have shed all of this character defining commitment phobia.
But you know what? Maybe she will go gallivanting with him to film Photograph Endangered Lizards.
Oh, do you think that his like place commitment phobia predates his person commitment phobia?
I think so. And she is an editor in the year 2024, so presumably she can do all of her work with Wi-Fi.
Oh, no, I'm not saying can they have a future. I'm saying it's odd to me that this man who's like, I don't date, I don't live places, I don't like to have relationships. Well, I don't know about relationships. He clearly has relationships with these like nice local people. He's actually quite pleasant. It's just funny to me that after a day, he's like, well, you should leave all of your life choices.
It's very judgy about her.
And implied what? Like, have a different life with me or just have a different life? I may have not been paying that much attention at this point.
I feel like he was implying have a different life, not necessarily with him, though he is.
Okay, that's
yeah,
better.
Though he's clearly into her, you know, like, but because he says that crazy thing where like, it's revealed at the rehearsal dinner that she was the one who proposed to Paul.
Oh my God.
And the photographer guy, James, is like so incensed by this. And Lindsay Lohan is like, what is wrong with a woman proposing? And he's like, nothing's wrong. Although clearly something is wrong. Like, and he's like, nothing's wrong with that. But if I were with you, I wouldn't have waited for you to propose.
Okay. But to be fair, oh my God. Questions about this though, right? I'm like, okay, but that proposal, by the way, didn't seem like Lindsay Lohan planned it either.
Yeah, it seemed spontaneous. And it really seemed like she just wanted to visit Ireland.
And he was like, I wouldn't take you to my home unless we got married?
Yeah, so the whole story is that they're out at his favorite bar in Brooklyn, and she's like, oh, well, what's gonna take for me to, like, for you to bring me home to Ireland? And he's like, wink, wink, only we were married. And then she gets down on one knee.
In this scenario, do you think that he didn't want to date her and they just kind of got in this situation?
No, I mean, he seems so happy to be at the rehearsal dinner.
I have a lot of questions. Anyway, I see nothing wrong with, you know, 4 months in him not having made a proposal plan, but...
You know, did you also think that Lindsay and Paul's relationship, Lindsay Lohan and Paul's relationship was like...
We're unable to, I forget her name, honestly.
Yeah, I think it's Madeline. Maddie.
Yes, you're so right.
Yeah. Did you not think their relationship was so chaste? To be fair, she like just like swapped into this life. Like I can understand not wanting to like jump to bed with this guy. But on the other hand, if that were me, I would take the chance.
That is true. They didn't, it was funny because I guess at first she was very unsettled. So I understand like finding him in the shower being like, what is happening?
Yeah, like he's nude. Like you're like, whoa, this doesn't seem
right. You're like, my friend's fiance is in the shower. But indeed, it was a little bit Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
But you are right. Do it once. Maybe you like this world.
Exactly. Like, you're here now, and she doesn't know that, you know, young Crone has the ability to reverse the situation. For all she knows, this is her reality forever.
That's true. I'm trying to think about this now and being like, yeah, because unlike 13 going on 30, like, she is an adult. I think I had so many other questions. I didn't have time to think about this. But, like, when I try... Okay, let me try to, like, perspective take, right? So if I'm in this situation...
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know. I think she's morally very conflicted. But she also, like, this is what she wanted.
Yeah. So for context, like... In the movie, there's like a scene where it's night, she and Paul are in bed together, she's going to sleep, he's going to sleep. He like comes up, he like puts an arm around her and she freaks out and like smacks him in the face, like knees him the balls, like, you know, whatever, bodily injures her fiance. And I was like, you know? Like,
I thought she was just extremely startled, but I guess you're also... It's not like they're strangers.
Yeah. Look, she's been lusting after this man for like a year and a half at this point. Would you not take the opportunity?
Or at least like not freak out that someone else is getting in the bed. Like, it's not like she, let's assume, has never had anyone get in bed with her.
Honestly, I would not put it past this film.
Huh. You are right. Like, it has 13 going on 30 energy, except... that she is an adult.
She's a grown woman.
When this happens. Yeah.
Do you think this is like, the subtext is like, Lindsay Lohan virgin?
No, come on. No, no. No.
A whole fresh spin on this film.
Here's a totally unrelated question, speaking of Paul. Do you notice there's wallpaper in the shower?
Did notice that. Does it get moldy?
I don't know. We were like, is this normal?
You know, I do know that people do wallpaper their bathrooms, but usually it's like a powder room, like a room that doesn't have like excess moisture.
Well, like, no, I've lived in a bathroom that had wallpaper, but not in the shower.
Oh, because it's like
open shower curtain, naked man behind him, wallpaper.
No, you're right. Now I'm like, yeah. Huh.
Set dressing department. We have some questions.
Yeah. Yeah, it is an old house.
Maybe. I was like, yeah, like traditionally, do people wallpaper their...
I don't know. I would love to know, actually.
Anyway, so we don't know what's going on with anyone. We question what's up with Paul. We question what's up with Lindsay. We question what's up with photographer boy. Oh, speaking of which, though, one last thing. When she approaches him with all her creepy alternate universe knowledge, she says... I'm writing a book about the cliffs. Which, first of all, I was like, a book about the cliffs? But more importantly, Matt pointed out that the way she says it is like, a book about the cliffs, do you know them? And he was like, imagine someone comes up to you like, I plan on writing a book about the Hollywood sign. Do you know it?
You make a good point.
Like, oh, Parisian local, I came to town hoping to write about the Eiffel Tower. Have you heard of it?
Are you familiar with this? I don't know. Have you seen it once or twice?
And I, being not from Ireland, was like, right before this podcast, was like, let me Google. And indeed, like, when you Google, that, like, preview thing that Google does says, like, most famous cliffs in Ireland.
On the note of Lindsay Lohan's dubious knowledge, I will say that Alex, I asked, I like mentioned this while we were watching the film, and Alex was like, I don't know, if this were us, like, I would 100% use my knowledge of you to, like, get you to be with me.
I mean, to be fair, people do this in real life.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just not as weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Okay, for me, let me just tack on to say that the greatest thing that happened to me after viewing this film was that,
oh God,
I was like, I'm in the mood to watch it. We watched this early in the evening. I was like, I could watch another Lindsay Lohan film. And then as I was scrolling through, I was like, oh, we could watch Leap Year, another film starring Ireland. And Alex was like, sure. She saw the movie like once many years ago. As longtime listeners of Rom-Comathon know, Leap Year is my favorite film. And
not really.
What? And but I have seen it many times. And we watched Leap Year, and my wife had the fucking best time. Like, unironically loved Leap Year. Was playing a phone game and put down her phone towards the end to focus on the film.
This is relativity.
We had the best time. She was like laughing at the bad jokes. She was like, I'm into this. She does love Amy Adams.
I was going to say, like, it's Amy Adams, it's Matthew Good. There is a component. But I think the biggest component is that Leap Year, while bad, is twice as good as this movie.
The Leap Year looks like a fucking masterpiece. Like, I was having such a great time rewatching Leap Year.
I think that when you are watching something and then you are watching something else, which is at least 100% better, you are gonna have a great time.
It was amazing. Nothing can touch this high. And here's the thing. I have been thinking about Leap Year because there's a scene in Irish Wish where Lindsay Lohan and the photographer are on a bench towards the end. And I was thinking of Leap Year, where Amy Adams and Matthew Good also have a scene on a bus bench. So I was kind of like, oh.
That's so true.
Yeah. I was like, look, Irish Wish wishes it could be Leap Year, but we can't.
Benches in Ireland.
We can't all touch that, okay?
Okay. Now I'm thinking about you and Alex on a bench in Ireland. Or somewhere. But here's the thing I have to say to that. I'm not saying that we're morally above doing this, but don't you think that if you're meant to be with someone, as these movies imply, that you could rely on that?
But she's impatient by the end of the film. Like, Lindsay
Lohan.
She's
just like, let me speed it along. It's not about the journey.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan is like, I want to be with this guy now. I'm going to just, you know, get it going.
Okay. I mean, I guess. It's not about the journey could be the tagline of this film. She's like, let me parachute into this life.
Yeah.
And then let me parachute into a different life now that I've exited my initial failed parachuting mission.
I think that's logical. I can't blame Lindsay. Like, if you're like, I know the person I'm supposed to be with now, literally Jan Krohn pointed me in this direction. Like, I'm going to go. I can't wait.
Okay. All right, you've convinced me. I guess I'm just like, Lindsay Lohan's inconsistent knowledge of what she does and doesn't have power over is very confusing to me.
Well, I think you two would be confused if this unhinged spirit lady just like showed up out of nowhere to defend Lindsay.
Oh my God, by the way, I think that is triggered by her being like, okay, it's like she's just like walking because she doesn't want to go boating with them because she's too upset that he's marrying Emma. And then I think she idly is like, God, I wish or whatever. And that is what triggers St. Bridget's appearance. So like, guys, don't say the word wish in Ireland. It's not safe.
No. Just don't even mention it in the vicinity. Like, oh, I wish I could be here forever. No, don't wish.
Because like before you know it, you're sitting on a stone bench, and some lady is like conjuring wind, and there will be like a cherry blossom storm. Which, by the way, I thought like there's a cherry blossom storm, and then she wakes up, and I was like, oh my God, she got Sleeping Beauty. Oh my God, the cherry blossom storm killed her. But no, she woke up with what's his face.
I also loved her feeble excuse when she was like, I don't want to go boating with, like, my friends. And she was like, oh, there's no room. Those rowboats were huge.
Yeah, all four of you could have been in one boat.
Yes. Oh, the other thing that we did not bring up was, did you not think that Paul Kennedy's brother was a homosexual?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, well, no, I didn't. But, like, first of all, there is a third friend in the mix. Lindsay Lohan has two friends of color. Let me just skip ahead and get that out of the way. They're the only people of color, right?
One of them, the black friend meets a black guy, another black guy at the reception.
And I was like,
and the tailor in the Irish village is also black.
Oh, the modiste, as we called them.
Yeah, like, I don't know anything about the racial makeup of Ireland, especially more rural Ireland, but I was like, okay.
Yeah, well, we always joke about how Movie England has no one, but, like, based on Trevor Noah's stand-up, it seems like real-life Scotland has no one. You know, up there, there are naturally fewer people of color, so I guess we had to import them from the U.S., except Emma, who I guess is British, but we haven't talked about that third friend at all, because she's basically just there to, like, be talked to. But she is, like alternate universe single Emma, like, trolling for available men.
Correct.
Either the brother or that other friend or this third guy that she meets at the end. That seems to be her main personality trait.
Soon as Paul Kennedy's brother, like, walked onto the screen, Alex was like, that's a gay man. And he just kept not being gay, and we were very confused.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's so hard to say.
He does seem perpetually cheerful, which seems a really aggravating personality trait.
Cheerful. His brother's getting married. He doesn't know that he's part of universe shenanigans. He's just there croquet or whatever it is they do.
Yeah, he's a rich white guy living on a huge estate.
Yes, a truly beautiful estate, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to tell. Like, I don't know that I feel this as much now, but, you know, if this were the 90s or the 2000s, like, I'd probably be like, like, they're kind of European. Who's to say? I feel like I literally want to say old-timey.
Oh, yeah. They're like, they feel like upper echelons of like stuffy English society, except it's just Irish.
I don't know. I feel like now I don't guess as much as to whether people are gay because I feel like trying to guess comes from a time where there were like, no bisexual people. No, this term is also outdated, like metrosexual men. Like, it's from like a Legally Blonde gay or European era.
Yeah, no, you're right. I see where you're
but
going.
But that is what
it.
I mean, that like non-American men dress and behave differently. So like, who is to say?
Especially in films, like, you would be like, oh, is he gay or European? No, true. I expected it to be revealed that he was gay, and nothing was revealed. He was with women.
Yes, the gays were not represented in this movie.
The gays were not. I was surprised.
One of her friends. Oh, the other friend should have been gay.
I know.
Now that I think about it.
That's what usually happens.
Although, then the pickings would have been even slimmer for her.
Yeah, I can't imagine that was
tough.
That was gonna go well. But usually what happens in these films is that they then meet some kind of like gay cousin at the reception.
No, you're totally right. Like you should have your like double minority friend who in the last 20 seconds of the film meets
someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea why they bothered to give color to the brother. He served no purpose. Best and worst?
You know, the scenery, once again, I do wonder if Ireland paid for this film because it was excellent advertisement for Ireland. It looks gorgeous. I want to visit. Know. Beautiful. So I would say the Irish scenery really came out top once again.
I always have to wonder, like, are there ugly parts? Because I guess they only film at these beautiful estates.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I think that my best scene was that breakfast scene where they talked about local woodland strawberries and where I learned that boxty was a word for a pancake.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, sounds delicious. I want to eat a boxty.
And they were being served by a butler. That was crazy.
Nevin.
Yep.
I think that was his name.
It was his name.
I was delighted by that. But honestly, I really struggled to think of, like, an actual best. It was tough. It was a tough movie.
I struggled to think of a worst scene because, like, everything was so mid. Yeah, like, it was just all, like, one note, you know? Maybe the outrageous time difference between Des Moines and New York.
I think I was most frustrated near the end when they tried to make their very brief acquaintance into a deep connection.
I think maybe I was like annoyed by the fight at the alternate universe wedding because I was like, what is even happening?
Yes. Also at one point, which I don't, yes, like that.
That seemed like so unnecessary and came out of nowhere.
Oh, the violent fight. I meant the fight that they have right before the wedding that Paul sees. Where he is being like,
Oh.
you are exactly this kind of person, lady I met yesterday, and how could you
Yes,
live
in
your
the
life this
garden.
way?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you total stranger, basically. I also judge. And you're like, oh yeah, you two are made for each other.
I did appreciate Lindsay being like, why are you passing judgment on my choices? Like a man who is not living my life.
Yes, she is correct. Although she did go on to judge his life as well. But to be fair, he asked for it. But at one point also, I think she literally says the words, "You're a man of mystery." I was like, well,
I didn't hear
I
that.
don't remember when it was. It might have been earlier when they were getting cabbaged at the bar or whatever, but
Amazing.
anyway, I really enjoyed some of the words I learned from this movie. So don't say this isn't educational.
Okay, we talked about the POC count.
Yes.
What would you rate this film?
Two or three.
I'd also give it about a three. It's honestly not the worst time I've ever had. It's just boring.
Yeah, like I think I almost wanted it to be worse.
You know, we had plenty to say about it. It's just not, it's not very interesting. It's very one note. And it would have been even worse if not for the unhinged Saint Bridget.
I was worried I didn't have that much to say about it, but I guess the whole point of this is that once you start to say things, I think of more things.
We really egg each other on.
It's an unfortunate. So,
Three out of 10 Irish wishes.
3 out of 10 young crones.
Three out of 10 Jane Seymour body checks.
Oh my God. 3 out of 10 things that you somehow don't know about your fiance.
3 out of 10 long sleeve Lindsay Lohan outfits.
3 out of 10, I plan on writing a book about this incredibly famous landmark. Have you heard of it? These are getting wordy.
I know these are.
Good thing we're editing the podcast.
I know. All right. With that, thank you for joining us today. We will be back with our last episode next month. So tune in for that next month, month after that. In the
Hopefully,
future.
hopefully next month.
Hopefully next
We'll
month.
see.
We're
We'll see
both doing
what happens.
we're both doing some travel, so we'll see how our schedules line up.
What we're saying is we love you, but just don't count on us anymore. We can't handle it, but we love you.
It's just too much commitment, but
Yeah, we want to travel around the world, lizards and stuff.
yeah, it's not you, it's us. But anyway, thank you as always for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you to Hannah Oatman, who composed our theme music, and Alexandra Oatman, who painted our logo art. You can follow Alexandra on Twitter at @Alexandra. Special thanks to Quincy Surasmith for advising us on the art of the podcast. Subscribe to his wonderful podcast, Asian Americana, at wherever you get your podcasts.
Want more Romcomathon? You can read past reviews at romcomathon2016.tumblr.com and follow us at romcomathon2016 on Facebook and Twitter and romcomathon on Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Please subscribe and rate Romcomathon on iTunes. Thank you!